Headlines this hour, hundreds of thousands take to the streets in France and Italy to protest their government's policies. The Organization of the Islamic Conference condemns Israel's new settlement activities. And Iran begins producing eye and skin bioimplants, breaking the U.S. monopoly on the technology. Watching World News here on Press TV. We're coming to you live from our headquarters in Tehran. Many thanks for joining us this hour. Well, hundreds of thousands of people across Europe have taken to the streets to protest austerity measures. France, Italy, Greece, and Spain have seen nationwide protests and strikes in recent days. Let's take a closer look.
In France, angry protesters have taken to the streets of the capital, Paris. Followed by demonstrators in other French cities, they've been staging rallies since Wednesday to protest President Nicolas Sarkozy's plan to increase the retirement age from 60 to 62. The protesters, from students to union members and workers, see the plan as an assault on their social rights.
We're fed up with protesting, but this government leaves us no choice. They don't want to listen to French people. Sarkozy doesn't want to change the principles of his reform.
Strikes have shut down hundreds of schools across France. Refineries have also seen major walkouts, leading to a massive shortage of diesel fuel. Strikes have also paralyzed train services and grounded flights. But the worst is yet to come, as unions promise more demonstrations in coming days. In Italy's capital, Rome, thousands of union members marched against what they called poor working conditions.
We are demonstrating here today with the Metal Workers Union and with the civil society because I believe there is a problem with democracy and the representation of the workers. Because agreements and accords are continuously signed without consulting the workers and hearing what they have to say.
On Friday, thousands of Italian teachers and students also took to the streets to protest the government's austerity plans. They demanded that the government drop its spending cuts and education reform plans. In Greece, riot police clashed with striking workers at the popular Acropolis on Friday. The demonstrators faced layoffs from contract jobs at various historical sites as the government undertakes austerity measures. The latest round of protests come 2 weeks after large numbers of people staged similar demonstrations in several European countries, all meant to say no to the government's spending cuts. It remains to be seen whether these governments would listen to their demands at the end of the day.
Several thousand people hit the streets in Berlin to take part in the annual autumn demonstration against the government. The protesters called for changes to the social welfare system, an end to nuclear energy, as well as an immediate withdrawal of troops from Afghanistan.
We cannot be happy with the number of demonstrators. 7,000 is far too few, considering how many people are affected. But many cannot be informed properly or cannot participate for financial reasons. Also, the media is to blame for not making these protests public.
The organizers had expected more than 10,000 participants, but unions and political parties did not support the protests. There is, though, still growing resentment towards Chancellor Merkel, who saw her popular rating slip further this week. Only 33% would vote for her coalition, while the opposition would receive 60%.
I'm here because the government of the German Republic is against the population because of the war in Afghanistan.
We are in a fury against this government and against the companies who want only to make profit, and we have the low wages.
Very bad situation for workers who don't have work, and it's necessary to kill this this law?
The government's strict austerity measures leave many in fear of poverty. This comes at a time the German economy is expected to grow by 3.5% this year, and unemployment numbers are predicted to drop below 3 million for the first time since 1992. While the economy is growing and unemployment is considerably low, the gap between the rich and the poor is increasing in Germany, and there surely is a lot of anger about the government's policies. Stefan Herrmann, Press TV, Berlin.
The Organization of the Islamic Conference, the OIC, has condemned Israel's settlement expansion plan as a provocative move. The OIC says Tel Aviv's announcement about building hundreds of new settler housing units in East Jerusalem Al-Quds is an act of sabotage against international efforts to revive the peace process. The body's Secretary General Ikmel Eddin İsağoğlu slammed the UN for its silence over ongoing Israeli aggression. He called for an immediate international action against what he described as Israel's arrogance. On Friday, Israel invited tenders to build 238 new units in East Al-Quds. The Palestinian Authority had earlier warned that the U.S.-sponsored talks with Israel will collapse if settlement activities continue. Following the Israeli announcement, the PA officials held a meeting to examine alternatives to talks.
The Palestinian leadership will study deeply and in detail in the coming days all the political options proposed in the shadow of the breakdown or disruption of the political process, and the insistence of Israel to combine continuing the settlement activity and what is called direct negotiations.
Well, a little while ago, our West Bank correspondent Ariel Khalili told us about the Palestinian Authority's reaction to the new Israeli settlement plan.
Well, let's say here that the PA is a bit shy to say clearly that it will not negotiate with Israel, that it will not be able to sit on the negotiating table. One time, Mr. Abbas, the acting PA chief, says that he will not go back to the negotiating table, and then we saw that he said during a joint press conference lately with the Finnish president, he said that there is still hope, and he wishes that if Israel would give a chance for these talks. So it's positive and it's negative. The PA cannot say clearly that it will not resume the talks because the PA depends on the U.S. funds being pumped, of course, in the West Bank, in the infrastructure projects, and so on and so forth. So the PA is actually behaving like a puppet for the United States.
Turkey has once again demanded an apology from Israel for its deadly attack on a Gaza-bound aid flotilla back in May. Turkish Premier Recep Tayyip Erdogan says Tel Aviv will remain isolated in the Middle East if it doesn't apologize for the attack. Erdogan was addressing members of his ruling party at a weekend retreat. He also slammed the United States for what he called Washington's continuous support of Israeli state terrorism. 9 Turkish activists were killed after Israeli commandos attacked the aid flotilla in international waters. Meanwhile, the Turkish premier also stressed the importance of closer ties between Iran, Pakistan, Afghanistan and Turkey. He said the countries have common security and financial interests. Well, Egyptian authorities have imposed some restrictions on a Gaza-bound humanitarian aid convoy heading for the Gaza Strip. Now, this after Cairo gave permission to the convoy to enter the Mediterranean port of El Arish. The aid convoy includes around 40 vehicles from Algeria, Morocco, Tunisia and Mauritania. For more on the restrictions imposed by the convoy by Egypt, we're being joined by our correspondent Hassan Al-Khatib. He's currently in Latakia. Hassan, over to you.
Yes, hello there. Well, there have been two major developments so far today. The first is that the Egyptian authorities have banned 17 people from the Viva Palestina convoy from entering Egypt. As of yet, the Viva Palestina management have not disclosed the names of the 17 people. They are considering of announcing the names on Sunday afternoon, but so far there is no indication of who and why these people have been banned. This news is obviously quite disappointing for the convoy, as they would have liked all their members, 380 of them, to enter Gaza. They don't consider their members as being a threat to Egypt or anyone else for that matter, but they simply see them as delivering humanitarian aid for people under siege and economic sanctions. However, talks are still ongoing with the Egyptian authorities, and it is hoped that the 17 people will be allowed to enter. There shall be more updates on that tomorrow. And the second piece of news is that the ship, which will be carrying the vehicles and the convoy members from Syria to Egypt, is currently making its way from Greece. And as it stands, the ship is being delayed due to bad weather conditions in the high seas. So it should arrive in Syria late on Sunday, which means that the convoy will either be leaving on Sunday evening or Monday morning from Syria to Egypt. This hasn't been a huge setback, as it has provided negotiations to continue before the Viva Palestina convoy hopefully makes its way into Egypt.
Right. Now, Hassan, will the convoy move ahead to Gaza if the Egyptian authorities do not budge in letting the 17 men into Gaza?
Obviously, they're still considering this back, but they are quite clear in their opinion that obviously if that's the last decision that the Egyptian authorities make, then they will have to do without the 17 people and just take the vehicles and everybody else into Gaza. And they're not seeking more trouble with the Egyptian authorities, but if that's the final position that the Egyptians have given, then that's what they will be doing.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there. That was Press TV's correspondent Hassan Al-Khatib reporting from Latakia. Now, according to him, 17 people were banned by the Egyptian authorities to move ahead. However, due to bad weather, the convoy has been delayed, but it will be moving from Syria to Egypt late Sunday or early Monday. We will obviously be updating you on the situation as it unfolds right here on Press TV. Well, moving on now, two more foreign troops have been killed in Afghanistan. One of them, a Swede, died in a bomb attack in northern Afghanistan. Two other Swedish troops were injured in the attack. Sweden has stationed about 530 troops in Afghanistan. The other foreign soldier was killed in a bomb explosion in the south. The nationality of that trooper is not yet known. At least 592 foreign soldiers have been killed in Afghanistan in 2010. This year has been the deadliest for the U.S.-led foreign forces in the country since the beginning of the Afghan War in 2001. The U.S. Army says an American soldier charged with deliberately murdering Afghan civilians will face a court-martial. Corporal Jeremy Morlock is one of five soldiers accused of killing three Afghan civilians earlier this year. They allegedly threw grenades and opened fire on unarmed people in Kandahar province. All five deny the charges. Another seven soldiers have been charged with conspiracy to cover up the alleged murders. The U.S. Army says Morlock faces a maximum life sentence if convicted. He has reportedly told investigators that his unit's leader organized the murders. There are also reports that the unit in question was plagued by widespread drug use and was under limited supervision from commanders. The woman who was the architect of the Bush administration's plan to invade Iraq is back in Washington. Press TV's Mike Kellerman reports on how former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice received a mixed reception.
Outside the National Press Club, anti-war protesters depicting Condoleezza Rice as a war criminal who should be put on trial for the murder of a million Iraqis.
I'm here today to protest the fact that a war criminal like Condoleezza Rice is allowed to go to some prestigious place like the National Press Club.
Inside the press club, copies of her new memoir about her growing up in the segregated South.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the National Press Club, Condoleezza Rice.
An overfilled crowd of journalists heard her still defend the invasion of Iraq. It wasn't to create a democracy, she said. Saddam was a security threat, even though his weapons of mass destruction were never found.
You can argue about whether he was a danger that needed to be dealt with then or later. We decided that he was a danger that needed to be dealt with then. And let me tell you, we could have done many, many things much, much better.
Rice admitted that she and Bush made, her word, mistakes on Iraq. And that, she announced, she'll talk about in her next book. Asked about the stalemated Middle East peace process, Rice took a swipe at Israel, saying Israel has no right to claim Jerusalem al-Quds for itself.
A solution is going to have to understand that Jerusalem is a place for all of the children of Abraham.
A lifelong Republican, Rice said that the ultra-conservative Tea Party needs to be taken seriously.
She was talking about the Tea Party movement. She was talking about how grassroots is so important and so on and so forth. Well, if you look at the Tea Party movement, if you look at the impending election, you see all these cross currents coming about as to what exactly is driving the public opinion. And I think there's no question about it, although she's very diplomatic and noncommittal here, I think when she goes to the White House, she'll be talking about that impact.
After her speech at the National Press Club, she came here to the White House for a one-on-one meeting with President Obama in the Oval Office. The meeting in the Oval Office was closed to pictures and the press. The White House said that the two have a, quote, cordial relationship. Obama, who vigorously opposed Rice's decision to invade Iraq, and Rice, talked about foreign policy, the war in Afghanistan, the nuclear arms reduction treaty with Russia, and Iraq today. And Rice, whose viewpoint is far different than Obama's, was said to be frank in her advice, although no details of the discussion were released. The White House says that the meeting was, quote, productive, and that President Obama listened closely to everything that the former Secretary of State had to say. Mike Kellerman, Press TV, the White House.
Well, you're watching World News here on Press TV. These are the headlines this hour. Hundreds of thousands take to the streets in France and Italy to protest their government's policies. The Organization of the Islamic Conference condemns Israel's new settlement activities. And Iran begins producing eye and skin bioimplants, breaking the U.S. monopoly on the technology.